Good morning. Thank you for coming to this morning session. As required by APHA, I have no relationships or conflicts of interest to disclose. The objectives of this 15-20 minutes presentation is to explain the importance of advocacy and stakeholder coalitions to fight the problem of antimicrobial resistance, AMR, and to briefly describe the results of a USAID-supported program to build advocacy and coalition at regional, country, and facility levels. As we all know, we're all interested in emerging, re-emerging diseases, including AMR. AMR has become one of the biggest public health threats. It is global in nature, transcends all boundaries, is present and prevalent everywhere. And as you can see on the right side of the slide, AMR brings many negative consequences to the individuals, to the communities and societies, and to the health systems. For example, to the individuals, you know, you have morbidity, mortality, financial hardships, psychological issues. And for the society, it is prolonged periods of infectiousness, bringing threats to other people, like Ebola, she was talking about. And then we have, like for health systems, we have, we are unable to treat the diseases, we require new medicines, and for some diseases, there are really no treatments at all, like extensively resistant tuberculosis. And in terms of the burdens of death, we already have 700,000 people dying from AMR globally today. And if we do not act adequately to contain this problem, by 2050, which is not far, just a few years from now, we will have 10 million people dying from AMR every year. 10 million. So huge burdens of death. And then similarly, in terms of cost impact, that's also huge, phenomenal. Like between now and 2050, if we don't really work well, we will have accrued $100 trillion as the cost impact of AMR. Superbugs are rising. WHO has come up with many very good documents on AMR, including the Global Strategy of 2001 and the Global Action Plan of 2015, which was endorsed by the World Health Assembly this year in May, as many of us know. But however, the country-level actions are few so far, particularly in low and middle income countries. In developing countries, the awareness and activities are still pretty low. A recent WHO survey, the picture is there on the right side, that WHO produced this year in April, shows that only a few countries have comprehensive national plans and strategies to fight AMR. And then the same report also says that public awareness on AMR is quite low in all the regions of the world. Why are coalitions important? Coalitions definitely are important. We all advocate for it because they generate multi-sectoral, multidisciplinary advocacy. And the good thing is they bring all the people together into a common table to talk about AMR as a common problem. And they create synergy in actions and, of course, allows you to share expertise, experience, and everything. and then allows networking for surveillance of not only resistance but also antimicrobial use, and motivating each other and creating voice for funding and all that. As we can see on the right side, our approach to AMR should be proactive and not reactive. Thus far, we have actually had primarily a reactive approach. We have been saying, well, this is what we will do when a drug doesn't work. But our approach moving forward should be more proactive, in the sense that this is what we will do to keep the drug working, preserving the effectiveness of the drugs that we have today. Because the pipeline is dwindling. Dr. McKay also talked about neglected tropical diseases, and we don't have diseases because these are orphan diseases. AMR is also becoming an orphan issue. So we need to be a little bit proactive about this scenario. In this context of low awareness and rising tide of AMR, with USAID support, the Systems for Improved Access to Pharmaceuticals and Services, SIAPS program, and its predecessors have helped build capacity to generate coalitions to fight the problem of AMR at regional level, at country level, and at facility level. And we have published a guidebook which is available to download. Actually, I cannot see it here, but right at the bottom you will have a hyperlink that takes you to the document. Many of these citations actually are hyperlinked, so you will be able to download them. So this guidebook actually helps jumpstart the process of advocacy and coalition building against AMR. And it is a practical document containing steps and tools and templates and country examples and facility level examples. At the regional level, this is a slide showing what we did at a regional level as an example. We collaborated with Ecumenical Pharmaceutical Network, which is a faith-based regional organization in Africa. And it has multiple constituencies in like over 12 countries in Africa, and also in Asia, Central Asia as well. And initially they actually conducted regional meetings and developed call to action documents which were translated into 5 languages. And using that, they built strong advocacies. And then the EPN constituencies in more than 12 countries, they actually conducted hundreds of AMR activities, including advocacy, awareness, sensitizations, surveys, trainings, and containment actions. And then, encouraged by the results that they obtained, EPN board has now very recently included AMR as a standalone high priority action area for in their 2016-2020 strategic plan. And so they have institutionalized the work of AMR in their annual programs. This is a slide showing examples of our activities at country levels. We have facilitated actions in Zambia, Ethiopia, and Namibia. And in all these countries, initially the modalities were similar, in the sense that we helped to carry out initial coalition building meetings and call to action documents, and then identifying local champion groups in all these countries which would lead the process. So they would be the ones catalyzing further actions. And those champion groups identified prioritized actions and then implemented packages of interventions to contain AMR. Like, for example, in Zambia, they revised the medical curriculum to incorporate AMR and rational use topics in the University of Zambia medical curriculum. So it's been integrated, it's been implemented already. And in the same way, they had very poor medicines quality programs the regulatory authority had a very poor rudimentary medicine quality program. So they actually implemented a medicine quality assurance program using mini lab and point of entry inspections. In Ethiopia, what they did was they conducted a national baseline survey on AMR, and then based on that developed a national strategy and an action plan. And they just revised only last month their national strategy for 2015-2020. In Namibia, similarly, they have revised their pharmacy curriculum here. In Namibia, they have revised the pharmacy curriculum to include integrate case-based studies and real examples of AMR and RMU in their pre-service curriculum. And also they are working, and they are well-known examples of advancing the use of early warning indicators for HIV drug resistance. At facility level also, we have worked with multiple stakeholders in several countries to advance antimicrobial stewardship and infection control. Like, for example, in Jordan, stakeholders from different disciplines, like Ops-Gyne, that was the primary one, of course. Ops-Gyne, OBGY, anesthesia, nursing, pharmacy, Safe Motherhood Committee, Drug and Therapeutics Committee, Infection Control Committee, and several others like hospital management. All these stakeholders came together and built a team that actually developed customized protocols and procedures based on international good practice and implemented that using medicine use evaluation and continuous quality improvement technologies to improve the antibiotic prophylaxis in caesarean section. So this is a good example of antimicrobial stewardship. And then they were able to demonstrate through CQI methodologies, they were able to significantly improve their practices of prophylaxis in terms of the correct antibiotic used, in terms of the correct timing of use, and in terms of the number of doses given. And also they were able to actually save significant amount of cost, 79% cost saving. The improvements were of the order of more than 85% for all the good practices, also leading to cost savings of 79%. But at the same time, keeping the surgical site infection rates very low. I think it was 1.59, which is well below the 6% global rates. So they demonstrated that they were not compromising the quality of care when they customized the protocols and the procedures. And at the bottom, you have actually hyperlinks that can take you to the reports. Similarly, in other countries like Guatemala, Namibia, South Africa, and Swaziland, the stakeholders came together to form a team to do infection control self-assessments and continuous quality improvement, CQI, methodologies to improve hand washing practices. And in all these four countries, they were able to significantly improve hand washing practices in the facilities, in the hospitals. These are all hospital level activities. Lessons learned. Through our work at regional country and facility levels, we have learned some lessons that probably would be useful for initiating similar activities at regional and country levels. And one of the most fundamental ones is we need to capitalize the existing initiatives and resources. So we need to build on existing foundations. The second is we need to mobilize a wide array of stakeholders from different disciplines if we are to succeed. You know, that is the concept of pharmaceutical care also. If you are working in a hospital scenario, some of you may be working in hospitals and in clinical pharmacy. I mean, if you want to really bring about real proper pharmaceutical care, you need to build that, foster that teamwork and collaboration. And then identifying, as I said earlier, after immediately after identifying the key players and the issues, the first step is to identify a local champion group that can immediately then take the charge of facilitating and catalyzing further processes. Another key message for us is here, or lesson for us is, advocacy needs to serve as a means and not as an end in itself. In other words, it needs to lead to further actions. And then AMR needs to be presented and framed as a value add to the existing programs and not as something that is competing with others. Because, you know, AMR cuts across, it is an across-the-board system-related issue that impacts all infectious diseases, Like Ebola, probably they don't have much of a treatment now, but if it were to become widespread and a long-standing epidemic and medicines were used, you know, resistance would develop. And then you would be actually needing to combat this issue in that case also. So in all the infectious diseases, we have the problem of AMR. If we don't have now, we will have that in future. And then we need to also realize that it is not actions against AMR are not one-off. They need to be continuous, or they need to be done over time, and particularly multifaceted, because AMR is a multifaceted problem. And we need to pay attention to overall health system strengthening. In conclusion, advocacy and coalition building against AMR, they are critical to achieve the global objectives. Like we are aware that there have been many advances against AMR in the recent past. For example, WHO this year published their Global Action Plan. And then the US government also has published National Action Plan on CARB, which is combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And they have several goals. The fifth goal is to improve international collaboration and capacities, in which, you know, NIH, CDC, and others, USAID will be working. And then, of course, the global health security agenda. Ebola is a classical case of emerging disease, or re-emerging disease. And so global health security agenda has, you know, bioterrorism, emerging and re-emerging diseases, and AMR as some of the objectives to tackle. And then the goal three of sustainable development goals, there are risk-related issues that SDG wants to address by 2030. So to address all these, advocacy and coalition building are critical. And our experience shows that with initial jump-starting support, in-country stakeholders, actually all of them, they are very interested, motivated to come together to create an initial advocacy and then prioritized and feasible packages of actions to contain AMR. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.